Okay, Rabbosai, so before we begin today's wonderful Mishnah in Masechet Yadayim, which we're just beginning today, let's go over some of the elements that we're going to be discussing over here in Yadayim. So our first parak is going to be discussing a lot of dinim that have to do with the way that you do the Netilas Yadayim. So it's going to be talking about opening up with what is the shear for Netilas Yadayim, what type of kli can be used for Netilas Yadayim, how do you actually do the Netila, what type of water is kosher for Netilas Yadayim, what is considered to be what is called Kayach of a Notain. What's considered to be, remember, you can't do Netilas Yadayim if water is just flowing over your hands. It has to be poured over your hands by a Kayach HaNotain, which is going to be defined over here. And that is all the basic dinim of the Netilas Yadayim that are included in the first parak. Then we're going to be discussing, okay, what is Matame Yadayim? So we're going to go through the various Tumas that are Matame Yadayim in the next parak. And then once we dealt with Tumas Yadayim, we're going to be bringing other halachas that were also said on Oto Yom, which was the same day that we were dealing with in Idyos. We're going to have a parak of discussing a further inyanim that had crept up together with that. But before we start talking about these specific dinim, like, how did this whole thing even happen? And bichlal, I mean, what is the word netilat yadayim? I mean, what does that even mean in Hebrew? Netilat yadayim sounds like we pick off your yadayim from your body. It's like, it's a very strange kind of word, isn't it? Like, where do we come up with that? And it's not really clear where we came up with it, because it could mean, as some suggest, the netila means since you need a kayach hanoisein, so netilat yadayim means the picking up of the water in order to pour it over your hands. No, could be. It also, I mean, according to those who are a little bit more open to foreign influences, is that it actually comes from the word of the natla. The natla is used for netilat yadayim. Everybody thinks we call the natla natla because it's used for netila. But actually, natla is Greek. So maybe netilat yadayim was fermented around the idea of the kli of the natla. Maybe. Okay, it's just one of those kind of words that now, what do you mean? What's netilat yadayim? Everybody knows what netilat yadayim is. But when you think about it, it's a little bit strange. And then overall, the question is, where in the world do we get the idea that there would be a concept of tuma for a yadayim? I mean, remember, midi raisa, either your body is tame or your body is tahar. There's no such thing as having just a part of your body being tummy. So to pour water over your yadayim is very strange. So remember that the entire concept of a tuma that is only going to affect your yadayim is itself a gezeira d'rabbanan. And that fundamental gezeira was not just the list of the things that are metame yadayim, which we'll get into in the next parak, but the fact that yadayim can become tame at all, and of course that major takana, which is stam yadayim are tame, which means that the moment that a person is not concentrating on his yadayim, then they're going to become tame. Now this, of course, is the ultimate, in a sense, of the mesechet, which occurs in this seder, and this seder is called Dat. That means it's all about awareness. And therefore, Hesach HaDat is going to passel your Yadayim. Boy, life was tough. So if you were a Kohen and you're going to be touching Truma, the moment that you fall asleep or go into a Barnea warp, oh my gosh, your Yadayim become Tummy. And this is the reason that Barnea is so makbid on having that water next to him, because there was constant need for new netilas yadayim. So that was the gezerah of stam yadayim. But of course, as we know, stam yadayim would only be creating a shlishi. And a shlishi for chulin is not affected by chulin. And yet we know that when it comes to halacha lamaisa, in terms of the Tumas Yadayim, whether those Yadayim were Stam Yadayim, and you were just Mesiach Da'at, or whether those Yadayim had touched something that's Metame Yadayim, like a Sefer of Tanakh or something, which we're going to be getting into. You remember that Gezerah? That nonetheless, if you're going to be coming to eat bread, then you're going to have to actually do Netilat Yadayim. So, I mean, I don't understand. That there would be a Gezerah for Netilat Yadayim, Legabe Stam Yadayim, for somebody who's eating Truma or Kachim. Yes, absolutely, I understand that. But how do you explain the fact that there's now a Netilat Yadayim even for Chulin? This is a completely different thing. And Lamaisis, the Gemara tells us that there were two different takonais, one by Shlomo HaMelech about Netilat Yadayim, that would be Nogea Chulin and Truma. And then there was further Gezeras that also was a takona to say Netilat Yadayim for Chulin, and that was sort of based on the Pasuk Vitkadishten Ve'item Kedoshim. And that is the Iker Halacha of cleanliness, but it's based on the fact that in order to get people used to the idea that Yadayim are very important to be cleaned, because on one level, just to make sure that Kohanim will never forget to do Netilas Yadayim before Achila, so if everybody is aware and is a baki in the dinim of Netilas Yadayim, so that way it's going to be something that permeates Klal Yisrael, even at a time where they don't necessarily have Truma around. And that way there will be an overall das about Netilat Yadayim. So essentially that was taken into consideration. And as the Gemara says, the idea of Iskadishtem Ve'yitem Kedoshim is a concept also of physical cleanliness. And there's a concept of mius, that it's usur for a person to eat something that is not clean, that is disgusting. And therefore, in order to make Bnei Yisrael sensitive to that idea, the part of Netilas Yadayim, and by the way, there are many who credit the idea of Netilas Yadayim as having saved tens of thousands of Jewish lives during the time of plagues and flus, influenzas, where the Jews were actually attacked by the Goyim because of the fact that they didn't get sick. And nobody attributed that to the fact that there was a takon of Netilas Yadayim, not having a germ theory of disease. So because of that, it's obviously part of the magic. And it means that the Jews, as usual, are poisoning the walls or are magically saving themselves from all of this stuff. And it's amazing, the difference between real people and madmen. But okay, things haven't changed much. Now, besides this idea of having specifically a takon of Netilas Yadayim for pot, there's also the other problem. The other problem is, as we just finished in Tvuyon, and we were talking about this issue, and that is that a sheni betuma, if it's a real sheni betuma and not Tvuyon, it would be metame mashkin lios rishon. Uh-oh, now there we really get into trouble. Because let's say that the food that you're eating is wet with one of the mashkin. So it's wet with water, it's wet with oil, and it's wet with milk. I mean, this kind of thing happens very often. If it's wet, so then it would turn out that you would actually be actively metame with your yadayim, because of the fact that the mashkin are chozrim lios rishon. So there's two problems that are caused by that. Problem number one is that when you wash your hands with that first bit of water that touches your hands, that water becomes tame. And now it's going to be metame other things, including your yadayim. So, I mean, what good is it to wash your hands if any of that mayim can still be chozer metame? So we have a concept which is called mayim rishonim and mayim shniim. Now, in reality, it used to be that there were three separate parts to the Netilas Yadayim. The first part was that you took a little bit of water to make sure, out of that revius, to make sure that any actual dirt was washed off, because that would be a chatzitza, and it wouldn't help your yadayim. So you would first pour a little bit of that revius, and then the rest of it would still be kosher because it would be considered a revius, since this was part of the procedure, the ritual of netilas yadayim. And remember, we're talking about a ritual. And because of that, Chazal are koveya the parts of the ritual, even if they don't make sense completely. I mean, if you really need a revius, what good is using a little bit of the revius to wash the dirt off your hands? I mean, then you don't have a revius left in order to do the netilas yadayim. That's not a question, because the takona of that revius in the first place was a takona of this amount of water that is necessary in order to have your yadayim ru'uyim for achila. So that whatever they were koveya is the amount that you can use for all three steps. Why say three steps? So what used to be the first part was a little bit of that revius to wash off dirt from the hands, because people didn't usually keep their hands clean. Water, remember, was at very much a premium. Clear water, very much a premium. And because of that, there wasn't that much washing of hands going around, and there certainly wasn't COVID washing of hands, in which people obsessively wash their hands every time they touch anything. So you needed to get rid of the dirt. Then comes the real mayim, what's called the mayim rishoni. And then comes the mayim shniim. What are the mayim shniim? Where if there's water that was left on your hands, so that water was nitma min ayadayim, so you pour water again over your hands to wash off that water. And now anything that's left on your hands is now okay. But the other problem, that's problem number one. So we handle that problem with the mayim shniim. But the other problem is that if you are eating something that is wet with one of the shiva mashkim, so then you should need netilas yadayim because you're actively being metame it. And that, remember, according to the Gra, is mi'ikar hadin netilas yadayim, and according to the Gra, you even make a bracha on that, which is why when it comes to the Seder Shel Pesach, in which we do the netilas yadayim because of the dipping, and since we're dipping into something that contains yayin, so that's one of the shiva mashkin, and it's going to make the pre, now the charoset, is going to make anything that you touch that had been dipped into it, it's going to make it tame, or the salt water, if you're using that with your potato, whatever you're using, is going to make it tame, you have to wash your hands before eating that potato. And the din is that that washing of hands is even if the part that you're touching isn't wet, but part of it was dipped into something that's wet, there's also a takana of netilas yadayim before eating something that is either pat or before eating something that would be mamish makabel tuma, which would be very serious if you were talking about truma, and there's therefore the gzera of chulin here also. So according to the Gra, at your Seder, when you tell the kids, so what do we mean by this step in the Seder, we wash our hands without a bracha? That's not true. According to the Gra, we wash our hands with a bracha, because you need to make a bracha even on mashkin, right? Okay, so basically, all of this we do even for chulin, even bizman hazeh, even in places where there's no truma, because of the fact that we have all of these takonas for our kohanim, even though right now they may not be too bright and they don't even think about eating truma. We want them to know that tomorrow when they're going to have to eat truma and Mashiach has arrived, they're going to be completely used to the idea of the concept of netilas yadayim, not to mention the fact that meanwhile, of course, it also serves for the idea of cleanliness, which is very, very much part of the kavana of Chazal, as the Gemara speaks about the kavana of what's necessary for Bnei Yisrael to be the Adam Atem that is clean and tahar. Then we have, of course, you remember all of the things that we made that seemed strange, that at first it was if you touch a Sefer Torah, you become tamei, because we didn't want people touching the actual scroll of the Sefer Torah and wrecking it with their dirty, sweaty hands, which then we extended to even include touching any of the Kisvei HaKodesh, because that was the problem of the Truma that was put into the place where you kept Kisvei HaKodesh, and because both of them are Kodesh, and that would cause mice or rats to come and to destroy the Kisvei HaKodesh because the Truma was attracting them. Okay, those were all various things we're going to be talking about in the second parak, and those are the things besides Stam Yadayim, which are Tamei. And now we have a handy hand that's right up there, and speaking of Yadayim.
Right, so is there any kind of connection between Netilat Yadayim and Kiddush Yadayim Berodlayim from the Kiyor by the Kohanim and the Beit HaMikdash?
Is there a specific basis on the Kiyor? I'll tell you, the only connection I know is that I always, when any of my grandchildren are visiting and they go to do Netilat Yadayim, I say to them, what's the matter with you? You didn't put your toesies in yet. The Kohanim have to do that, which confuses them very much. But I don't know about basing it on Yadayim Viraglayim and Akiyor. But obviously, the Torah is very, very marked on these extremities and the cleanliness of extremities, absolutely, for sure.